So today is, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Text 7, The Activities of Maharaja Agnidra. Oh, we don't have, okay. So today we have Mitter Hari Bol.
Yeah.
Oh, you have it, yeah? So you could read. Katvam Chikirsh... Katvam chikirsha si chakim muni varya shaila.
Katvam chikirsha si chakim muni varya shaila.
Maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya.
Maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya.
Vidye bibarshi danushi suhridat manorthe.
Vidye bibarshi danushi suhridat manorthe.
Kim vam riga nrigaya se vipine pramata.
Kim vam riga nrigaya se vipine pramata.
Would you like to read?
Katvam chikirsha si chakim muni varya shaila.
Katvam chikirsha si chakim muni varya shaila.
Maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya.
Maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya.
Vijye bibharshi dhanushi suhridatmanorthe.
Vijye bibharshi dhanushi suhridatmanorthe.
Kim va mriga nriga yase vipine pramattam.
Kim va mriga nriga yase vipine pramattam. Word for word translation. Ka. Who. Tvam.
Are you.
Chikirshasi.
Are you trying to do?
Cha.
Also.
Kim.
What?
Muni varya.
Oh, best of the munis.
Shaila.
On the hill.
Maya.
Illusory potency.
I see.
Are you?
Kapi.
Sam.
Bhagavat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Paradevataya.
Of the Transcendental Lord.
Vijya.
Without strings.
Bibarshi.
You are carrying.
Dhanushi.
Two bows.
Suhrit.
Of a friend.
Atmana.
Of yourself.
Arthe,
for the sake.
Kim,
oh sorry, Kim va,
or
Mrigan,
forest animals.
Mrigayashe,
are you trying to hunt?
Vipine,
in this forest.
Pramatan,
who are materially maddened?
Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
The prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara. O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill, and what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own, or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest.
Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidra was captivated by the movements of Purvachiti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaishta star hrita gyana. When one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidra, having lost his intelligence, couldn't distinguish whether Purvachiti was male or female. He mistook her for Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he couldn't believe her to be a boy. He, therefore, began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat Para Devataya. Devata, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Paradevata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Paradevata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyasana Prakritiu Kshayatesa Charachara, Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Parvachiti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidra compared them to bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for his own purpose or for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals, such as deer and tigers, meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows without string, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed, butva-butva praliyate. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidra could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word pramatan is also significant. Pramata refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are pramata, or vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Shochitata vimukha chitasa indriyardha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudan. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification, with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as Pramata, Vimukha, and Vimuda. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is a Pramata, a sane, sober person, a Dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are Pramata with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidra questions Purvachiti about this. Om Magyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Maritam Yuna Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dhinataranam. I read the verse again. The prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara. O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill, and what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own, or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. There are so many points in this verse. I just wanted to say what came to my mind when I read it. It's not about Agnidra, it's just how it reflects in our heart. So I was just thinking that sometimes we are too fearless. I mean, we don't afraid of Maya, so we try to play with Maya. Because here we can see, like again, it's not about Agnidra, it's about how I see this verse. Yeah, so he, by dint of his austerities, Srila Prabhupada is saying, saintly Agnidra could understand that it could be Maya, how Maya acts. But he knows that, and at the same time, he wants to be captivated by Maya. So he is asking, you seem to be, like, is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? So he could guess that it actually happens for his sake. He knows it within his heart, but he wants to be captivated by that Maya. So that's very important. Like Srila Prabhupada, he once said, like, for our sake, he said, I will never fall down because I am afraid of Maya. So this is how we should behave with Maya. Maya looks so attractive, and sometimes, especially after we practice chanting sadhana for some time, I know, like, I don't know how about you, but I know sometimes we may become a little bit familiar with Maya, but she is much stronger than we are. If you play with Maya, we will always be smashed. It's impossible. Like, she's perfect maid servant of Lord Krishna, and we cannot be friends with her, because sometimes we try to be friends, like we try to flirt or just to be friends with her. No, we're in different positions. She's always superior. So we won't be her friends. And what to do not to be smashed by Maya? Because there is a person who is stronger than Maya Devi. And who is he? Hari Bol, Sri Krishna. So it's impossible by our own strength to overcome Maya. But it's possible by surrendering to Krishna, by always remembering Krishna. And so when that moment comes, when we feel that we may, like, Maya attacks, yeah? And Maya can come in her most attractive form. Attacks of Maya, not always like in the war, you know, there. Yeah, it's not like that it looks like horrible and you immediately want to run away. No, like she uses everything just to test us. Do we want to serve Krishna or do we still want to be Krishna here in the material world and play with Maya? So she can come in her most attractive form. And what I noticed in my life, so I guess it could be also somehow related to your lives, the more we do, like, the more we try our best to do sadhana, like say today I chanted say 64 rounds or like did my best, and immediately Maya will test. It's just all the time. I mean, probably when we become steady, I guess, because I'm not steady yet, maybe it becomes a little different. But before that, like, I did my best and immediately I'm tested, like, so do you want to go on like this or now you want to relax a little bit? Here's the cushion, lay down, enjoy some music not related to Krishna or whatever you like. But we are always protected by Krishna, so in all circumstances we could just pray to him, we could remember him and chant his holy name to be safe, to be protected. And so we should not be illusioned by the most beautiful, attractive features of Maya. Because when we practice devotional service, we will feel in our heart, like Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that by dint of his austerities, saintly Agnidra could understand that's Maya attacking him. So we usually feel it. Yes, if we are not sure, we can confirm with senior devotees. Yes, and so then, like, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, always think of me, always worship me, and offer all your homages unto me. Then you will come to me without a doubt. So he is emphasizing always. Yes, he's not only saying while we chant japa or while we render some service and then I can just go to my room and watch some movie. Of course, it could be about Krishna, but maybe just for my own sake. Like, I don't know how to explain. It's a little subtle, yes. But here, like, we do even that because we must eat, we must sleep, we must also take rest. But just for the really sake to serve Krishna better. If I just say, okay, this time I give to Krishna, now this time is for me. Yeah, this is Maya. It could be very subtle, it could be in the temple, it could be devotional movie or something like that. I mean, it's much better than go, like, out for non-devotional movie, but even as devotees, we try to distinguish between that and always just have right motives, right intentions, yeah? And how to do it, it's very simple. It's very simple. We should always pray to Krishna. We should understand that we cannot do it by our own. Yes, so we cannot catch Krishna's attention by great austerities because he is the most renowned person. We cannot attract his attention by being very beautiful, by being very wealthy because he is the most opulent person. He is the most attractive person. Nothing of it will attract Krishna. So the only thing which can attract Krishna's attention is devotion, is love. So that's the only thing. And so to be protected, saved from Maya, we should always know that Krishna is our friend, or whatever you like, because it is said that in all relationship he is the topmost. Yeah. So whatever you like to meditate, like, it doesn't mean that because it is said that our eternal relationship, probably when we practice, they will be gradually, little by little revealed. Yeah. But what noun we are inspired to feel? Yeah. If now, like, we are inspired, like, some maybe like to worship Krishna as little Gopal, or as like a boy who plays with his boyfriend, or as a boy who is a beloved of Srimati Radharani. That's beautiful. Yeah, just we should be also careful about that. Not just, as I mentioned also before, like what is sahaja, taking cheaply, thinking that in this body, with really this body can please Krishna. We can please with our attitude. Like, so it's very subtle point. I wanted to tell two stories, and I would like to ask, maybe some of you remembers, because I remember it happened in South India, but I forgot all the names. So it could be story about disciple of Ramanujacharya, of Yamunacharya, but who lived in Sriranga?
Both.
Okay. I just forgot, but maybe you remember the name, because I tried to find it yesterday, but of course I didn't. So that great Acharya, it could be Ramanujacharya or Yamunacharya or some great Acharya like them. Once he saw a man on the street who was so much captivated by beauty of a woman. Oh, it was disciple of Ramanujacharya. Oh, it was himself. Oh my God. So, and he looked at that woman. He was carrying an umbrella to protect her from the sun. And he was just looking at her eyes. And so who was this, that great teacher?
Yeah, so Ramanujacharya was, there was a procession going with the Lord. So Ramanujacharya was there, and this person had a lady hold an umbrella for him. And he was so captivated by the lady. He was looking at the lady all the time because she was so beautiful. So Ramanujacharya sent his disciples and said, go get that person here. And then he went and then...
He asked him, why do you always look at that woman? And he said, because never in my life I've seen anything more beautiful, more attractive than her eyes. He was a sincere man, so he just opened his heart. And then Ramanujacharya said, what if I will show you something that is more attractive than her eyes? And he was also like he was seeking for silence. I mean, he was sincere. He said, okay. And he brought him to Ranganath, to Lord Ranganath. And when he saw Lord Ranganath, he forgot about the material world. And he became a great devotee. And he married that woman because they were not married. She was his lover, as I remember from the story. But he married her. And they became both ideal disciples of Ramanujacharya. And then, like, when we read about them, they served their Gurudev with everything, with the wealth, because they were wealthy. And then, again, the famous story, it's not related to that, but it's related to them. How monks in the temple, they were sometimes, like, it's like, no, it is said, like, in Vrindavan, monkeys, they look very renounced. They have nothing. They are naked. But actually, they're very lusty. Yes, so these monks, of course, they were not like monkeys, but sometimes they would quarrel because of the cloth, because they would wash all the cloth, and sometimes somebody would take somebody's gamcha or somebody's dhoti, and that person would say, this is my gamcha, this is my dhoti, give me it back to me. So they were quarreling, and then Ramanujacharya, he decided to teach them a lesson. So he told them, I think it was because they were a little envious of that disciple, yes?
I don't remember the exact. That was the central line that I just remember.
Yeah, about the monks, yeah, how they were quarreling. And also, like, they were thinking, maybe you remember, yeah? So they were maybe, like, a little bit envious or something like that, they didn't trust, because they were thinking that, so somehow, they were wealthy, and they would serve to their Gurudev. So he decided to show how they're devoted, and how they are not attached to their wealth. They thought that they're attached to their wealth. And he sent them, just ask, because... He told it in such a way that they felt, okay, he wants to show us how they are attached to the wealth. And so he said, go when husband is not at home and wife is sleeping and steal jewelers like from their house, something like that. So they came and he was away, her husband was away and she was sleeping. But she actually could hear that they entered. So she saw that they are brahmacharis, but she made a show that she's sleeping.
And they started to steal everything. But I don't remember if they stole something from the house, but they started to take, probably they did, and then they wanted to take also her bangles because they were like from precious stones and all gold from her body. And so they took from one side, and then she turned to another side. Yes, because her intention was she wanted that they take. But they got scared when she will wake up and they ran away. And then next day, actually, Ramanujacharya said, and now you go again and hear what they talk to each other. And they came and like they could hear that wife, she talked to her husband and she said, you know, I think that our monastery, they need money. These poor brahmacharis, they came and they took gold from me. They even couldn't ask because probably they were so much embarrassed. So they took like all jewelers from our house and like from my hand. And when I turned to another side that he could take like other bangles, they got scared and ran away. And he chastised her. He said, why you did that? No, this poor brahmacharis, now they couldn't take it. They got scared, like, why you did it like that? You couldn't just lay down so that they could. And then they realized how they are wealthy externally, but they are so much unattached to their wealth. They could give everything. And they are like, externally, they have nothing, but they are so attached even to one gamcha or kaupin, whatever they have. So I just wanted to tell that story about beauty, how Maya can come in different forms. Yes, because first, before that disciple of Ramanujacharya became a devotee, he was captivated by the eyes of that woman, and he couldn't know that to become happy, we should serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he was sincere, and he didn't say, no, I know that your eyes are the most beautiful. So he could find the Lord because he was so sincere. And so I just wanted to say how Maya can come in the most attractive form. And so we should not be mistaken. And if it's something horrible, it's Maya. If it's something beautiful, it's definitely Lord. As we know, like with the story of Putana, she appeared as a very attractive woman. Although she was looking horrible, like in her real Swarup, real form. But she came as a so beautiful woman that all Brijabhasis, they took her to be a goddess of fortune herself. And they, without any fear, they gave her Krishna that he could feed him with her breast milk. So beauty is very attractive. And a second story I wanted to tell, it's from Radhanath Maharaj. I remember he told that story. And I believe it happened in Mumbai or somewhere in Pune, so somewhere in India, in Maharashtra. It's about one boy. He was a young man, and he was a student. And he was also like a devotee. He would attend Namahatas. And then, because he was number one in the class or whatever, he decided to increase his studies to become number one in the college or something like that. So he did study like really day and night. And he stopped coming like for Namahata, for meeting with the devotees. He said just for a few months, like say, up to that point, when I finish, when I start to come in again. And he didn't do anything. Probably he didn't chant, I don't know about that, but he didn't come to meet with the devotees. And then he achieved his goal. He became number one or whatever, like in his. And then he had choice because devotees knew now he's number one. They invited him. They had Namahata that day. And at the same time, it was dancing party, like graduation ceremony. So he chose that graduation ceremony, dancing party. And what happened then? So it's like how Krishna gives us choice. What you choose now, Krishna or Maya? So he decided just one more time, little bit, maybe fame. You know, I'm number one, it's just to relax. I don't know. It's again not about him. It's about like, I just imagine myself being there. So he chose that. He went for that graduation ceremony, dancing party. And he was dancing and heart attack happened and he died on the spot. So it was Krishna. Krishna knew. Krishna knows he's going to die today. So he's giving him chance to be with the devotees today or enjoy your triumph, material triumph. He chose that. This is a real story. And I like, because Radhanath Maharaj is telling such stories, oftentimes after that you just know, I have to become serious. So it's again how Maya is testing, and we should always choose Krishna, always, because we don't know when we die. He was a young man, very young man. That's a wonderful story. Okay, I'll read the verse again because just let me see because probably. Yes, and also because it is said that Maharaj Agnidra, he was not prepared that this girl will appear. So mostly Maya catches us unaware, so we don't know Maya is going to catch us. So he was so bewildered, like he saw that girl, but because he was practicing austerities in the forest for many years, he could understand she's not a boy. But at the same time, he said, oh, like, you're one of the sages, because he was not prepared. So we are never prepared to meet, to face Maya. So that's very important.
What is the number of the verse?
7. 5-7. Yeah, and so all the time before we fall in my embrace, you have choice. So choice is up to us, yeah? Because sometimes we can say, I'm so insignificant, I have not any strength, any power, please save me from Maya. And we say, like, okay, like we go to Krishna, or maybe like, sometimes like, I met some, you know, devotees, and they say, only you can save me. Like, you know, somebody wants your time, your attention. They come and they say, only you can save me. Only you can save me. But in this way, we just don't want to take responsibility. This is our responsibility, not to fall in Maya. Of course, it's by Guru's grace and Krishna's mercy, but this is our free choice. Even if we are very, very weak physically, if we have that desire not to fall in Maya, we will not fall in Maya. So Prabhupada said, be always afraid of Maya, chant the holy name, and it will happen. Anything? Okay, I will read the verse again. The prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara, O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill? And what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies or the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Also, I want to say just a few words about that bow without strings. Like, that's very beautiful analogy. And then nowadays, probably it would be gun. Like, gun, when you shoot with a bullet, yeah, and person dies. And I was just thinking, because if you shoot somebody in the heart or in the head, immediate death, yeah? But if you shoot, like, in the hand or leg, that person maybe will not die, but will be so much pain, so many blood lost. Yeah, but person can survive. And I was just thinking that we say usually that mind is in our head, yes, and when we fall in love, we say like it happened in our heart. Yeah. So when we are, there is Maya, we can fall in Maya like really and be completely killed. Yeah, like with our mind, completely be absorbed in Maya, or just fall in love with Maya, and that's just death. I mean, not forever, because Krishna always gives chance. Or we can fall in Maya and at the same time understand that we can still come out, yeah, if we were shooting in, say, hand or leg. It's just some analogy, but it's also... So mind and heart is the most... Yeah, because it's like when you fall in love, that's it, you lose your intelligence. Or like if your mind is here, it's something like... Okay, I want some of your comments or questions or corrections.
I like this last analogy you were making of being the eyes of the heart as opposed to the limbs. So we need to protect our eyes and our heart. We need to insulate them and constantly keep them focused on Krishna and give our heart to Krishna. And then when these things come to us, and they're going to come, can't stop them. These temptations, these illusions of mind. But if we are well insulated. Rompa Tomi had a very nice directive. He said, when you're in a new situation, when you feel vulnerable, you need to insulate yourself, not isolate. We cannot keep ourselves isolated as devotees. We have to go out into the public. Have to be in these situations where Maya is so prevalent, but we can insulate ourselves.
What is insulate?
Insulate. In the walls, they put insulation to keep the room warm in the wintertime. Likewise, we keep our focus nice and warm and cozy on Krishna. But if there is no insulation, if there is no sadhana, then easily the mind, the eyes, and the heart will go elsewhere.
Thank you.
I didn't hear the class, but I'll still comment. There's an interesting thing, story, where when Daksha got his head chopped off, and then they put back a goat. So Prabhupada said he still had all the same intelligence and everything, because that all resides in the heart. And that would probably kind of not jive with modern science, but actually that's the case, actually. It's all in the heart. Intelligence is in the heart. He still had all his intelligence, even though he had the head of a goat, the brain of a goat. He still had the same heart, so he had the same intelligence.
Thank you.
He's a goat head.
Couple of quick points. I really like the class. It's so systematic and there are nice stories and examples. It's really informative, very nice. The first point was the bows that he talks about are the eyebrows of the Purva Chitti. It's a really nice example. He says that he's so much in illusion that he doesn't know, he sees Purva Chitti and he doesn't know it's a male or female. It's so much in
That's so funny.
It's really, you have to be so much illusion if you don't even recognize what a male or female. So he says that you have these bows without strings. Second thing that you said was very nice, where you said that none of our qualities actually attract Krishna. It's only bhakti. You can't even attract Krishna through your renunciation. Actually, it just accidentally came up with this verse of Prahlad Maharaj. Very nice, which actually says the same point. He says, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think, O Nrsimhadev, that even by all of these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Krishna of God. However, one can satisfy the Supreme Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra, the king of elephant, did it, and the Lord was satisfied with it.
Haribol, yeah.
It's interesting how many material points he says that now is supported. So that was nice. And one last thing to say was there was a story said by Sachinandan Swami, where he made the same point that again you made, of how we could overcome Maya by taking shelter of Krishna. He said this point that when he was young, he went to his friend's house and the friend had a dog. And the dog was so ferocious, started running behind him, steep, making so much sound and barking. And Sachinandan Swami didn't know what to do. So he was running because this dog was a bite. So Sachinandan Maharaj then finally went to that friend and said, it's your dog, just take care of your dog. The friend just came out and said, don't do that. And then the dog became so subdued and didn't bark at Sachinandan Swami because he realized that he was actually the dog's master. The dog realized it's my master's friend. So then Maharaj linked it, saying that the dog represents Maya, while the master of that dog, friend, represents Krishna, while we represent Jiva. So when we come in, it's the dog who tries to shoo us away from the friend, tries to shoo us away from Krishna. But the way you can escape is when you tell the friend, take care of your dog. So when you tell Krishna, take care of Maya, this Maya is attacking me. Then Krishna just says this, and then Maya becomes a sati, because she realizes that Jiva is actually Krishna's friend. So that is interesting. And you also made the same point where you take shelter of Krishna and welcome. Thank you so much.
You can never outrun a dog either. That's the point. You can never ever. A dog can run much faster than you.
I also wanted to say that tomorrow starts Jalana Yatra. Yeah. So anybody knows why do they celebrate, why there is swinging pastime? Maybe would you like to say a few words on
maybe
that?
Because
we still have 8 minutes. You want to sit here?
No.
Because I didn't know what to say, so I was thinking maybe you can say more. But just I know that usually in all the temples we celebrate Jhulana Yatra, swinging pastimes of Shri Radha and Krishna. And in all the temples, in ISKCON temples and in Vrindavan, everywhere you just go and they're big and small swing and they put the takurji on the swing and everyone could swing there. And in ISKCON Vrindavan in the afternoon, that the little Radhashyama Sundara in that big courtyard, and everyone, there is a huge lion, everyone will just swing there, and they always give their prasadam or their flower, and they decorate swing very nicely. So I don't know the story of that swing in Pasta.
Okay, then I'll quickly share a story.
Yes, please.
So according to the Acharyas, in some scriptures, like Gopala Lilamrita, he talks about two types of pastimes of Krishna. One is called as the eternal pastimes of Krishna, the Nitya Lila, and one is called as the Naimittik Lila, which means those Lilas which don't go every day, but are occasional, like the swing pastime, like the boat pastime, things like that. They are Naimittik. While the Nitya Lila are things like where Krishna takes the cows, where Krishna is with Srimati Radharani, etc. So one very interesting pastime as far as the Julan is concerned. Krishna once told Srimati Radharani that don't associate with Narada, because Narada Muni is a very controversial person. Krishna tells Radharani. Radharani said, no, I mean, I think you're trying to settle scores with him. I don't think so. He seems to be a very nice person. So Krishna said, you can associate with him, but don't, it's a piece of advice, you know. Don't come to me later. He's controversial, so don't associate. Probably this is one of the rare things where Krishna tells him not to have sadhu sangha.
He wants your sadhu sangha all the time.
So then there was this instance where Radharani and Krishna, they during this season of the Chaturmas, Shravan, Ashwin, Bhadra and Kartik, in the first month they enjoy this swing pastime just before the rains. Because once you have the rains, then it spoils. So after the rains, they have the boat festival. And before the rain, because the temperature cools down, they have the swing festival. So the gopis were arranging everything for Radharani and Krishna's julan. Everything was very nice. The julan was set, big jula, the swing. The sakis are there. They're having nice flower decorations. Scents are there. Some are having nice kirtan. Everything very beautifully decorated. Krishna was sitting and Radharani had not come. So this was the only time when Krishna was waiting for Radharani. Every time it's Radharani waits and waits and waits and waits. God knows where Krishna is. So now Krishna was waiting. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes that even Bhagavan was facing his own karma because he was playing with a devotee, Srimati Radharani. Anyway, so Krishna was waiting for Srimati Radharani for a long time. Where was Srimati Radharani? She was decorating herself. She got late because she was decorating herself. First day of Julan, she wanted to really look good. So when this was happening, Narada Muni came to the place where the Julan was going on. He came and he told Krishna, you remember a long time ago in the previous yuga you had given me a boon? According to another story, which is really long, I don't get into it. Krishna had given a boon to Narada Muni. And according to which he could ask Krishna for anything, anytime, but just once. So Narada Muni said, I'll keep it for the future, not now. So he used that here. He told Krishna, you remember a long time ago you had given me a boon which I could ask for? Krishna said, yes. So Narada said, the boon that I want from you, or the wish that I want to get fulfilled, is that you always swing with Radharani. Lalita Sakhi is called as Anuradha because she is very much like Radharani. So why not have that good fortune with Lalita Sakhi? And she's such a perfect servant. Why can't she experience swinging with Shamsundar? So Lalita Sakhi said, no, it's only meant for Swamini. It's only meant for Radharani. But Krishna said, no, Narada has said I have to fulfill. That's the boon. So Lalita, you have to sit here just for the sake of Narada. Lalita Sakhi said, and all the sakis started swinging. So the Julan started without Srimati Radharani. And there were 50 million gopis in this assembly. And they were all swinging and decorating. And, you know, it's festive occasion. And on the swing were Lalita Sakhi and Shamsundari. Now when all this was happening, Narada disappeared. He was nowhere in the scene. Where was he? He went to the bedroom of Radharani where she was decorating. Radharani was decorating and Narada went and said, hey Radhe, what are you doing? So Radharani said, I'm getting ready because I have to go for Julan. So Narada said, Julan? You mean the swing festival? Yes, the swing festival. Today is the first day and I'm going to swing with Shamsundar. Narada said, are you sure? Because I just crossed by the same area and I thought Krishna was swinging with Lalita just because you got late. Just because you got late, I think Shamsundar started swinging with Lalita. I mean, you would want to go and check. So Radha, he said, how do I go and reach so fast? I can't reach. Narada says, don't worry. I have mystic powers. That's how I fly everywhere. I can take you. You're a nice young girl. I can take you, no problem. So Narada Muni takes her afloat, flying through the sky. And by the time she's in the sky, thinking about probably whatever Narada said, he's a Mahabhagavat, he cannot lie. So Radharani is crying and all her mascara is on her cheek and her makeup is all going, bad, messy. Just with the thought that probably it might be true. She's flying over and here intense jhulan is going on. Shamsundar is swinging with Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha is dancing and somebody Tungavidya is playing the drum and Chitra is, everybody is in their own world. Narada at a distance is telling Radharani, see what is happening, you're Madhava, you're Radhika Raman who is supposed to give you pleasure, see what he's doing, he's swinging with Lalita. I didn't expect this out of him, I thought he was loyal to you. As soon as Radharani saw this and heard this, she went into a nearby forest and she started crying so much. And now the swing came to an end. And everybody is still wondering. Now, at this point, Narada reappears in the swing arena and he says, well, you all swung, but Radharani is still not here. I don't know what happened. At that time, they could hear somebody crying, sobbing and weeping. So Krishna said, well, this sounds like Radharani. Let's go and see. So they all go to the nearby forest. And Radharani is sitting next to a rock. She's really crying so much. She said, I had so much of decoration done. I had so much of, I had ornamented myself. And it was such a festive occasion. Krishna spoiled it all. And how could you all are my friends. How could you all swing without me? Did you all think that y'all wanted me as well to enjoy? This is really bad. And she starts crying. And then Krishna falls at her feet and Radharani is in a complete anger, devastated mood, and Krishna massages her feet and bathes her feet with his tears. And Radharani is not pacified. Then she tells all her sakis that I don't want you all to have any black makeup because all of your black makeup reminds me of this rascal. Because he cheated. Then Radharani tells all her gopis to take everything black out. No mascara, no hair. Said, you do something, but I don't have to see anything sham. Then Krishna really pacifies her cries, I'm sorry. And Radharani agrees. And then Krishna says, now I'll tell you the reason. And then he tells all that Narada Muni did. He said, Narada came here, he gave me a wish. Radharani said, Narada came to my room and said, that, what are you doing? And then they tried relating both sides. And then they got to know. Aha! So it's Devarishi Narada. Narada said, I just wanted to have this Leela done where Radha and Krishna come together in union, in separation. And then Krishna told Radharani, you remember what I told you? To stay away from him? He's a very controversial person. And then after all, they got Radharani to the swing. And along with Narada Muni, all the sakhis, all the manjaris in Vrindavan, they swung Radha and Govinda in this beautiful festive occasion of Radha Govinda.
Haribol, thank you. Haribol.
He's very powerful.
He's an interesting personality.
To be able to change everything around like that.
Oh, he's amazing. He's really amazing.
Krishna must love him to be able to let him pull such a prank.
Imagine being in that prank. It's like amazing.
He's increasing the mood of separation.
So tomorrow when we swing, we can have that as a backup. Where, wow, Radharani is finally sitting with Krishna.
She's Radha Gopal Bhakti Jaya.
Yeah.
She's Prabhupada Jaya.